Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program for February 15th. I'm Scott Kappa. This week, the news in Switzerland has been about one thing and one thing alone, the result of the latest anti-immigration vote. Voters, amid concerns that migrants were competing for housing and jobs, as well as stretching the transport system, narrowly approved a right-wing proposal that imposes limits on the number of foreigners allowed into the country, which may also signal an end to the free movement accord with the European Union. The initiative was approved by just 50.3% of voters and was passed by a majority of cantons. The move by the Swiss People's Party, known for its anti-foreigner and anti-EU agenda, will see the reintroduction of quotas, as well as a national preference when filling job vacancies and restrictions on immigrants' rights to social benefits. For People's Party parliamentarian Luzi Stamm, it was a sweet victory.
I'm very grateful. I want to thank the Swiss population. It was an enormously important decision because we had to have a change of direction. Swiss voters have said that instead of free movement, we must have quotas for foreign workers.
For the government, most political parties and the wider business community, the vote result was a blow. However, the cabinet does not believe its game plan before and during the campaign was flawed. For Swiss President Didier Burkhalter, the result has more to do with perceptions.
I don't think you can say we underestimated the situation, but rather we thought the measures taken to manage the effects of immigration were sufficient, or at least seemed sufficient. This was not how these measures were perceived, though. So we have to make our mea culpa. But I want to say that it is also the result of 2 decades of some people questioning everything we do with the European Union. Immigration was perhaps the straw that broke the camel's back.
The finer details still need to be worked out. The Swiss cabinet has set out a timeline that would see the immigration quotas introduced in 3 years' time. Immigration caps are, however, incompatible with the Free Movement of People Accord, whereby EU nationals are free to work or live in Switzerland and vice versa. The European Commission issued a statement expressing its regret that the vote had passed, warning that any limitations on the Free Movement Accord could lead it to rescind other agreements. However, People's Party President Tony Brunner believes other bilateral agreements are not under threat.
Even the European Union knows it benefits from bilateral agreements such as the Accord on Transport through the Alps, so the EU will think twice before suddenly dropping any agreements with Switzerland.
The vote result prompted further reactions across Europe, with EU governments criticising the decision, while Eurosceptics and anti-European movements hailed it as a blow against the European bureaucracy. Britain is one country where Euroscepticism is high on the political agenda. Citizens there could vote on EU membership after the next general election, if the Conservative government remains in power. I asked Swiss Info London correspondent Vincent Landon how the Swiss vote result was seen in Britain.
Well, I think the vote has galvanised Britain's Eurosceptics. Populist party like the UK Independence Party, or UKIP, as well as Eurosceptic Conservatives, are saying that the Swiss relationship with Europe could be a model for Britain, which could also set its own quotas if it were also out of the EU. They're saying that, you know, give British people their own referendum, then the result would be the same as in Switzerland. So I think they've taken a lot of hope from the Swiss referendum.
Now, this was a promise by the British Prime Minister David Cameron that Britain would vote on its EU membership. Has that put much more pressure on him now to actually follow through on that promise?
Well, we've got a number of steps before then. First of all, coming up are European Parliament elections in May. If the Conservatives come third in that, behind Labour and UKIP, I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Conservatives under David Cameron to come up with a much stronger anti-immigration stance ahead of the next general election set for May 2015. Now, Prime Minister David Cameron has said that if he gets voted back in, if the Conservatives get voted back in, he will offer voters an in-out referendum on the EU by 2017. Now, that was clearly prompted in part by fear of UKIP and the success it's gathered from its anti-immigration and anti-EU stance. So it's definitely having an effect on the debate here.
Now, you mentioned there again the United Kingdom Independence Party, UKIP. How does that compare, for example, to the Swiss People's Party? Because some of the political parties across Europe that welcomed the Swiss decision tended to be much more on the far-right side. Is UKIP a typical far-right party, or is it more complex than that?
I think it is more complex than that. I think what it's been able to do is to tap into some of the fears which we saw in the Swiss vote, for example, that what it's been able to do is to show that voters are no longer being persuaded by the sort of simple economic argument that that the country will be worse off after, you know, if you pull out of the EU or if you go it alone, you don't have access to a single market. I think that message is getting very tired. And what it is very sort of personal concerns, overcrowding, rising house prices, whether people perceive rightly or wrongly that jobs are at risk and so on. So I think what they've proven is that the message from government and business leaders is going to have to be much sharper and show much more alignment with what people are really feeling on the ground.
Now, the Swiss vote was about migration. There are about 80,000 new migrants who arrive in Switzerland every year for a population of around 8 million people. In Britain, the number is obviously higher. But does it compare to the Swiss situation in terms of people arriving in Britain?
Well, as you said, the figure might be higher, but as a percentage of a population, it's significantly smaller. If you think of that 80,000 in a population of 8 million, which is Switzerland, here you have net migration of last year up to June 2013, it was 182,000. So a significantly smaller figure in terms of percentage of a population. Now, what is different here is that we have had a large increase in migrants in recent years from a troubled southern European Eurozone economies. So the argument here has focused more on, if you like, poor migrants coming to seek a better lifestyle and a fear that, social welfare systems and so on can't necessarily cope with that.
If the vote goes ahead on EU membership in Britain, what are the chances that the British voters will reject EU membership?
At the moment, the political force which is calling for Britain to pull out of the EU is UKIP. What other parties are saying is we want to, if you like, cherry pick a bit more. We want to cut immigration. We might want to raise this whole issue of free movement. But what we don't want to necessarily do is pull out of the EU. So I think there's a difference there. I think that whereas some people might support, cutting down on the free movement, cutting down on immigration, they wouldn't necessarily go so far as to say we should pull out of the EU.
Vincent Landon speaking there from London. The vote split Switzerland in a number of ways. French speakers versus German speakers, cities against the countryside. However, it also showed the People's Party making inroads in recently developed areas out in the suburbs, as political scientist Claude Longchamp explains.
It's common for suburban communities in the German-speaking part of Switzerland to have changed sides. Not long ago, they were more in favour of the free movement of people. Now, they're mainly against it.
So why the change in attitude? According to journalist Matthias Daum, who has studied the question, rapid growth has much to answer for.
The suburbs show the strongest development. The differences in life between city and countryside can lead to some friction and fear. People start to feel uncomfortable about growth and strong changes taking place on their doorsteps.
The shift in voting attitudes was 10% or more in some areas on the issue of free movement. The vote also highlighted Switzerland's rather unique system of direct democracy. Across Europe, a number of politicians, generally further to the right, called for a similar vote in their own countries, although they are unlikely to be followed by their governments. I asked Bruno Kaufmann, a direct democracy specialist, whether the outcome of the Swiss vote was finally good or bad for direct democracy, since the result was a defeat for the government.
I think it's good news because it's offering such a showcase about how this process of a constitutional initiative is used in Switzerland, because it's not a new law. It's not basically against existing contracts with the European Union, but it's giving a new principle in the constitution which will have to be followed up by a legislative process, which again can end up in a new referendum about, for instance, stopping the bilateral agreements.
Now, the initiative was fairly vaguely worded. It called for quotas on immigration, and it didn't provide any numbers. What is the responsibility of the Swiss People's Party today? It backed the initiative, it launched it originally. What should the Swiss People's Party be doing today?
Yes, the Swiss People's Party is, of course, at one side a part of the government, and in that way also part of the responsibility to continue now this process. On the other side, it's of course the machine behind these initiatives, and they have made many initiatives. And because the Swiss People's Party is not really feeling that it belongs to the mainstream, it used the initiative process to bring issues forward, normally not really succeeding at the popular vote directly like now. But now, of course, in a way, being part of the responsible forces. So I would even say that maybe it's for the Swiss People's Party, it's more difficult now after this this yes than it would have been after a no.
These initiatives, particularly from the People's Party, are often seen as a political tool, as sort of putting their views across as opposed to actually seeking a result. Is this, in a sense, not an abuse of direct democracy?
No, I wouldn't say like that. It's really, I mean, if you are in the middle of the power, if you are the mainstream who in, let's say, 9 of 10 cases get your ideas through the parliamentary process and the government, you don't need this initiative process. But you have in the Swiss government all these different parties inside, and you see very clearly that the parties on the left, the Social Democrats, and the parties on the right, the People's Party, use the initiative process much more. And in the end, you can call it an element of fine-tuning. An element of fine-tuning decision-making process. And if you are not in the middle of the power, if you're on the sideline, you use the initiative process. That's a very well-known fact in Swiss democracy. And earlier, it was more the left which used it. And now, when maybe the mainstream is more to the left, it's the right who uses it.
If you consider that, for example, the when we're talking about the immigration and quotas, in this case there was a free movement was negotiated with the European Union, there was a parliamentary process, the government put forward the proposals, it was accepted by the people at a certain point. Isn't this, in a sense, pushing back on earlier gains? Why should it be acceptable in direct democracy to simply push back on something that has been decided earlier if it's not fundamentally wrong?
Because, I mean, it's clearly like that, and in a democracy, every decision is preliminary. If you just say it's like our fathers 200 years have decided, like some do in the US, you try to, of course, attach to a mainstream which is not necessarily existing. I mean, this is a test how much the majority feels about an issue. And in Switzerland, the Swiss direct democracy, it's full of a history of decisions about similar topics again and again.
Direct democracy specialist Bruno Kaufmann speaking there. And that's all we have time for this week. For more news and views about Switzerland, check out the Swiss Info website. We leave you now with Dawn Penn and You Don't Love Me. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Kappa.